Hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers. Hey, this week I am excited. I'm excited about a couple things. Number one, we are going to get into Revelation chapter 20, and I believe, Lord willing, we're going to get to the end of the book of Revelation to get through this series that we've been in. And the other reason I'm excited, I'm going to wait until the end of the podcast to actually share that portion with you. So, but today I am calling this little message here. I actually gave it a title. I'm going to call it The End is the Beginning. So let's get into it.
Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Okay, we're going to jump right into scripture here. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven. This is Revelation chapter 20. Having the keys of the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain, he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So here we see just a random angel, okay? This isn't some massive angel. This isn't an archangel. It's just called an angel. And so I think that's very interesting. Usually we see people comparing the devil to God, and almost as if it's an equal contest, but it's really not. It's just an unnamed angel with one hand chains up this dragon and tosses him into the abyss. Verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, this should be encouraging to us, because right now, especially as first responders, we are seeing the spirit of lawlessness going crazy. The spirit of lawlessness is spoken of in 2 Thessalonians. I think it was the second one. Anyway, we see that the lawlessness, the chaos, the anarchy going absolutely crazy right now. Things that used to be illegal are no longer illegal. They're legal now. And yet they're still immoral by standards of this book that we're reading. We should be excited for this 1,000 years that's coming, this 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, because we're going to see a ruler who rules in righteousness. Those who do evil will be judged for. They'll be arrested. They'll be dealt with. And it will be a righteous judgment. There'll be no crooked cops. There'll be no crooked judges. There'll be no politicians. Not in the way we see them today. So this is encouraging to me. Moving on, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, there where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, why after 1,000 years of peace and prosperity would Satan be released? Well, I believe that there are those who are going to survive the tribulation period, who are going to still have their earthly desires, their earthly bodies, right? And, well, they'll probably reproduce. So here we will have all of these people who have lived in this 1,000 years of peace, prosperity, absolute paradise, without having to make a choice. And love without a choice isn't really love. It's an automaton. I don't know. So they have to be given a choice. So here we see that choice. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up their dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now that's kind of scary, right? I mean, here you, these people are going to have to stand before the God of heavens and earth. And they're going to be judged based on their actions. Well, I hope that if you're listening to this and you're a believer, you don't need to be afraid of that moment, okay? Because you and I have already been judged. And our judgment was poured out on Jesus Christ as he hung from the cross. So you and I don't need to be afraid of that. Our names are written in the book of life as believers. Now, if you're not a believer and you're listening to this, I hope that you come around. I hope that you'll open up your Bible. I hope that you'll see the chaos going on around us right now and understand that this is how the Bible says it will be in these times. I mean, how else can you see and explain that good means evil and evil means good? Well, that's in Isaiah. That's in the book of Isaiah. So take a look at what's going on and compare it to Scripture. And I think you'll find that you may just see some similarities there. In fact, probably 100% accuracy. Okay, getting into chapter 21 here. Here we're going to see some newness. Some things made new. And that's why I titled this what I did. And I'm excited that this is going to be the last reading within this context of Thin Line Believers, and then I'll explain when we're finished here what I mean by that. So, chapter 21 of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia, or 1,400 miles in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurements, and it was 144 cubits thick, which is about 200 feet. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets, and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Now, sorry to read through that like I did, but I didn't want to add my own commentary to those last two chapters. I just wanted to present it as it is so that you can kind of take it in and imagine it for yourself. That's what the future holds for believers. Now, I've heard it said, and it's worth repeating, that for those who don't believe, this world is the best it will ever be for them. But those who do believe, well, for them, this is the worst it will ever be. So no matter how good you've got it right now, or how bad you've got it, if you're a believer, this is the absolute worst it's ever going to be in this life. Because in the next, as soon as we are out of here, the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. So as soon as we die, boom, we are in the presence of the Almighty. Now, I don't believe in this falling asleep until you're in the presence of the Lord. I really don't. And I could give reasons for that, but I want to encourage you with this. Your last breath here on earth is your first breath in heaven. And things look pretty crazy right now as we look around. But this is the worst it's ever going to be. And if we can get through this, and we can, then there are treasures waiting in heaven. And things are going to be really, really good. So, those of you who have to deal with protests, who have to deal with lawlessness, who have to deal with evil, really, just keep looking up. Keep looking up. Because things are aligning just like the Bible says they would in the end of days. And if you're one of these folks who says, and you know what, that's fine if you do, but if you're one of these that says, well, yeah, but people have been saying that for years, right? What was it, 88 Reasons that the Jesus is Coming Back in 1988 was a very popular book years ago. There have been those who have said that Jesus is coming back ever since he said, I'm going to come back, right? But when you say that, you know, when you mock, you're fulfilling Bible prophecy, so go for it. That's fine by me. But I really believe that as things are aligning, especially as we watch Israel, we're very, very close. And I hope you're looking up. I hope you're watching. So, having said that, you know what? The Lord can tarry as long as he'd like. I don't think it's much longer. I don't think the world can sink too much deeper before he comes back for us. I could be wrong on that. But I did tell you I had a little announcement here. And I don't want to go too much longer with this. But I just wanted to share my excitement that we are, Steve and I have been in talks, I guess, with a couple of brothers out of Colorado. And I'll give them the opportunity, hopefully next week, Lord willing, to introduce themselves. But we are going to be partnering with a couple of good friends over there. And we're going to be doing a little bit different type of platform with this. We're still going to make sure that the Word of God is first, foremost, the foundation, the center of the Thin Line Believers. But we are going to be using just a little bit different platform. In other words, hopefully this will be the last time that you hear me by myself, me and the Word of God here. Instead, in the future, it would be more of us coming on here and discussing the Word, discussing the first responder culture, health, wellness, fitness, all centered around the Word of God. And I think it's going to be a really good thing. I'm excited for it. And I think it'll present more opportunities to interact with the listeners. It'll present more opportunities to see different viewpoints of each of us as we go through our careers as believers first. And so I think you're going to get a lot out of it. I think I'm going to get a lot out of it. I want to thank you for hanging out with me while I did read through the book of Revelation. Like I said, this book is the only in the Bible that promises a blessing with it. Now, if you don't feel like you were blessed by it, that's okay. Maybe your blessing comes in heaven. I don't know. Your blessing probably does come in heaven if you're still listening to me talk. There's probably treasures waiting for you. But having said that, just like we saw, the end of this book is the beginning of eternity for us. I think we're going to see a new beginning with thin line believers here. One that is going to, it's going to be a good thing. So, stay with us. We'll bring you some really good content in the future here. All right, so let's finish this off with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this period of time, for these last couple of years that you have presented an opportunity for us to minister to those who are listening. Thank you for our listeners, Lord, that even though they go through struggles, they take the time to listen to Thin Line Believers and hope that that we're ministering to them. Lord, we pray for the future. We pray for the future of our brothers and sisters, that they'll be brought closer to you, that you will be very present in their time of struggles, that like with Paul, you can say to us, my grace is sufficient for you. And that we will respond as Paul did, that we will praise all the more, that we will boast all the more in our weaknesses, and because in our weakness, you are strong. Lord, help us to surrender to you. Help us to allow you to work in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving us and for not stopping there, but for giving us the book of Revelation that shows us the future, that there's a hope, that this isn't all there is, that you are not a God who is like a boy with an ant farm, but instead you are a God who is directly involved, who saw the suffering of your creation, put on flesh, came down, lived with us, had the same temptations as we have, the same problems, and then died in our place, defeated death, so that we can live with you forever. Amen. Okay, next time you hear us or maybe see us, that's a little hint. The next time you hear or see us, it'll be more than just me, which is a very good thing. All right, God bless.